What is a code retreat? Today I will answer this and two more questions. Hi, my name is Peter Kofler. I am the Code Cop. Obviously, I am fanatic about clean code, and for many years I tried hard to develop quality software. Eventually, I had to change my motto to developing quality software developers. In this podcast, I will answer questions about facilitation, hosting, and participation of code retreats or any kind of hands-on session in general. If you have any questions regarding your code retreat, please send me an email or leave a comment. So let's get back to the question. So Raimo gave me feedback on one of the early versions, asking me that I should give some overview about code retreat for first-timers in general. So what is a code retreat? It's a full day of learning, usually it's a Saturday, and it's based on the idea of focused practice. So we will write code again and again to practice what we are doing, coding. It's based on the idea that we need to practice in order to get better. So the whole day is based on self-improving, trying out new stuff, and it's all around coding. Obviously, it's called code retreat. So we would sit together, do a little exercise, write some code or write some tests, do some designs, then retrospect about it, delete the code, and repeat. And by this repetition, using different pairing partners, we get more ideas quickly. So I would say the idea of the code retreat, it's a bit like a conference. It gives you a lot of different impressions about practices you are doing or you are not doing. Maybe you are not doing yet, like test-driven development, in a short time. You could see the solution to a problem in 5 to 6 different languages. You could pair with people with different backgrounds and learn all the time. So it's about learning and practicing and growing. It's also a bit about getting out of your comfort zone, but facilitators will make sure that things don't get too crazy. So it's a repeatable day-long event, focus on practicing the fundamentals of software development. Another question I'm usually getting in my facilitation trainings is if organizers should participate in coding. Now, I understand this question because people who run code retreats are really enthusiastic about coding and also want to participate. So we want to participate, we want to also write some code, we want to try the constraints, we want to try crazy stuff, we want to do things like we never did, and we also want to practice. But that's a problem. If you are facilitating a code retreat or hosting one, you should not participate in the coding because there are a lot of duties you have to attend. Now, as a facilitator, you have to, even during the sessions, walk around and help people when they are facing problems, make sure that people follow the constraints, maybe help people that get frustrated. And even as a host that has less work to do than code, it's important to not participate because you will have to check that lunch appears. Maybe there are certain things that you have to fix during the sessions. Maybe there are not enough plugs, you can get some plugs, maybe the window needs opening, is no paper, maybe you need to get some pen. So if you're really enthusiastic about facilitation and hosting, there just is no time to do the coding, right? You could have your own learning agenda. So I'm not saying that you can't learn. A code retreat is a day of learning and practice, as I said before. So you could have your own agenda as facilitators or as hosts, so you could try to improve your techniques to facilitate retrospectives, or you could try to remove all distractions for people working, like Daniel did in the last Global Day. And I think I will ask Daniel about his learning on the later episodes. But the participants have priority, so we have to care for them, and we shouldn't do any harm. And if there are several facilitators, it is possible to switch roles. Like in the last Global Day, we were 2 facilitators, and at lunch we switched roles. So I was participating, and one of the participants, who was also a facilitator, stepped in and was supporting the main facilitator for the second half of the day. So that's perfectly fine if the roles are clear. So it's clear who is facilitating now, and you have your duties and you're not participating in coding. And then when the session is done and the next session is not connected, so it's like a clean start after lunch, there could be another facilitator facilitating the session, and the original facilitator can participate coding. We even had it once on a small code retreat that each session was facilitated by a different participant that already had some experience facilitating. So all of us were participating in a code retreat with five sessions and were only facilitating one. That worked well. Related is the question of how much should a facilitator answer questions from participants. Now, usually participants ask a lot of questions, especially first-timers have questions or they don't know about the format, maybe they are confused. So as facilitator, you should always answer all questions regarding the format. If someone is asking why we're deleting the code, explain why we're deleting the code, which I also will explain in a later episode of this podcast. If people ask you how much time there is left, I'm usually saying there's plenty of time. Because the code retreat is not about time, it's about learning, it's about stretching oneself, it's not about finishing. So it doesn't matter if there is enough time or if there's the time is almost done. I had some funny situations when people were asking me how much time is left. I said plenty of time, and immediately the timer rang that announced the end of the session. But still, there was plenty of time for learning. And sometimes participants ask for concrete solutions. Especially on difficult constraints, like the no-if constraint, people are struggling and they are asking me what would be a solution. And I'm reluctant to tell them what the solution is, because I don't want to steal their learning. And if they keep pushing, I would tell them that I don't want to steal their learning, because if I tell them, they will be angry with themselves, because it's much more powerful if you find a solution on your own. But then, in the end, when they are getting frustrated because they can't find a solution, I would ask some questions that would guide them to the solution, but I would never give the solution directly. Because this is not a training. I'm not a trainer, I'm not a teacher, I'm just preparing the space for people to grow and learn. In the last session, Barney said that we are asking questions according to the coaching spectrum. So the coaching spectrum is like a dimension of how we can ask questions. It's asking versus telling. And the telling is, I'm telling them what to do, so I'm not telling them what to do. Then the next level would be give advice. I would say I'm rarely giving advice. Next level would be demo. I'm also not showing them. But then there are suggestions. I might give suggestions if they are stuck or if they're not following the constraints. But in general, we should just ask open questions. An open question could be, how would you make the code so that that and that is possible? And then they think about it and maybe find a new way to solve the constraint. That is all for this episode. I'm Peter Kofler, and I wish you luck with your next code retreat or hands-on workshop. If you have any questions regarding your code retreat, please send me an email or leave a comment. I'm looking forward to hear from you how your event went. Code retreats are awesome. Let's have more of them.